this puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And when that wind blows, it brings us a breath of fresh air, at least according to Gordon Goldsboro of the Manitoba Historical Society. He's here again for our look at abandoned Manitoba. Good morning again, Gordon.
Good morning, Terry.
So last week when you were leaving, you hinted that we'd be looking at a breath of fresh air this week. What's that story about?
Well, I was alluding to the treatment for tuberculosis.
So where are we going for this, Gordon?
We're going to go to a place south and east of Brandon, the village of Ninette on the shore of Pelican Lake.
And the breath of fresh air is related to tuberculosis, right?
Tuberculosis, that's right. A sort of a respiratory disease that was characterized by heaving coughs, sweating, fever, and of course, dramatic weight loss. And in fact, because of that, it was often called consumption in those days because people would literally be consumed by this disease.
And so what remains now in Ninette?
Actually, quite a lot. I had been led to believe that the buildings were mostly gone, and many of the buildings that were once there are now gone. But the most impressive one, the main administration building that goes back to 1909, is still standing, in fact, in remarkably good condition.
Is it being used?
No, it is vacant, and it has been vacant for probably at least a decade. But it was used as recently as, say, about 10 years ago, not for tuberculosis treatment, because that's been something that we've really put behind us. With modern antibiotics, you can treat tuberculosis fairly well. But when it closed, and I think it closed in 1972, it was turned into a facility for the training of mentally challenged people. And then after they evacuated, it was used by a church for a sort of a religious retreat site. But then when it was abandoned finally, it's been sitting empty ever since.
How many people were cared for there at its peak?
Oh, hundreds. At any one time, there probably was, I don't know, somewhere in the vicinity, maybe 100. But of course, over the years, it operated, say, from 1909 to 1972, many, many people. I don't think there are good statistics on it because the records are fairly spotty. But I think it's safe to say there were lots because there were some that simply passed away without any known next of kin, or if they were next of kin, they didn't know how to send the body back to them, and so they were simply buried locally. And there's a monument, in fact, in the cemetery at Belmont, Manitoba, that lists the names, and there are literally hundreds of names on it of just these people who died without next of kin. So I have to think, therefore, there were lots more.
Now, you said that there's one building, the main building, still standing. How big was the facility at its peak?
There were apparently over a dozen buildings at one time. The main administration building, which also had some of the treatment facilities, there were accommodations because, of course, there had all these people living there. They had to have places to live. There were accommodations for the staff, for the doctors, the nurses, the orderlies, the maintenance staff, maintenance buildings. I mean, it was really a very elaborate complex, sort of nestled on the shore of Pelican Lake. It must have been just a fabulous, fabulous view at that time. Because they were sitting just perched on the side of the lake like that.
Hmm. And so can we visit it?
Well, you can certainly see the exterior there. The front grounds, the grounds sort of facing the lake, has been turned into sort of a trailer park now. So you can certainly go into there. And then if you can drive up just past that, you get into where the administration building is. The buildings are all locked, mainly because the current owner would just as soon not people break in and walk around in them. But I had an opportunity last year to go and visit it at the invitation of the owner. And so I did get inside and wander all around, and it is really an impressive building.
Is there any evidence of its use as a tuberculosis facility?
Yes. In fact, when they were operating it as other things from the 70s onwards, they had a little museum on site that would give people who came to visit or people living there sort of an insight to what it had been. So there's a room there that has still a number of artifacts relating to the treatment of tuberculosis through the years.
Mm. It does sound like a place that would be great to have access to, but you say it's locked. And is it privately owned? Yeah?
It is. It's owned by a person from Saskatchewan. Who has visions of, or had visions, I guess, of turning it into sort of an artist's retreat, which I think would be an inspired idea. I guess the challenge, however, is the cost. You know, the fact that it's a large building, especially in the wintertime, the cost of heating it would be outrageous. I have a feeling that's probably the big impediment is, you know, how would you maintain it, particularly during the winter?
So how do you refer to this? This is the Ninette Tuberculosis
Sanatorium.
Sanatorium.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it was one of a network. There were several around the province. I mean, there was one, in fact, here in Winnipeg and sort of South St. Vitale that is actually still standing. What is now the St. Amant Centre was, in fact, a tuberculosis sanatorium.
Yeah. Where are you taking us next week?
Well, I'm prone to be cryptic, and I'm going to say simply that it's a place where Mr. Spock from Star Trek would feel at home.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Gordon. See you next week.
You're Bye. Welcome, Terry. Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.